Leicester looking to get close side of Font. Lafondra away from Davis. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another season of the sacred Elm Park Royals preview podcast, or should I say the Elm Park Royals phantom preview podcast, because I'll let you into a little secret. I'm not in a dark, dingy room in Cardiff or Reading. I'm actually down on location at Phantom Brewery in Reading, and I'm joined by Alex, an Elm Park Royals regular slash kind of my boss. Hello.
I wouldn't say boss. That's putting it too. Kind of your boss? Supervisor, I would like to say.
That's it. Supervisors.
Yeah, okay, we'll go with that.
Because Paul sort of delegates to you, who then delegates to me. So there's a chain of command, if you will. And in very exciting news, I'm joined by the man of the moment, Dane White, the proprietor of Phantom Brewery, who's here to talk to us about his pride and joy. Hello, Dane.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Thank you for letting me into your very warm office. It's kind of less of an office, more of a sauna. Fortunately, we're being plied by a lovely, seemingly never-ending supply of Phantom beers to quench our thirst and lower our temperatures. I'm not complaining.
Lovely free beers when it's 30 degrees outside.
I like accepting a freebie, especially when freebies as tasty as these.
Excellent.
Embarrassingly, my brother, Finn, shout out if you're listening. He's probably not. He's probably doing other things. He worked here for a little time, and in all that time, I was like, yeah, I'll come down to Phantom. I'll see what it's all about. And I've never, ever, ever come until today, Dave.
You're a first timer.
I'm a first timer. I've had my Phantom virginity stripped upon arrival. That probably isn't making the final cut. I suppose we better start off, Dane, by qualifying the fact that you are a bona fide Reading fan, and you have been for several years.
I showed you my paperwork before this started.
You did.
To prove it, yeah.
That's we have to get every guest on the podcast to do like a 20-question multiple choice test before coming on, and Dane passed with flying colours. You'll be glad to hear. Tell us a little about Phantom and what you guys do down here in your little neck of the woods in Reading.
So Phantom started back in 2019. It goes actually a few years before that, 2017. Me and my best mate, Dom Jemski, we had the idea whilst we were homebrewing, after quitting our jobs, to kind of pursue something a bit more fun to make this business. And yeah, 2 years down the line, we were able to open November 2019. And yeah, since then, things have been going great. You know, it's, we brew hazy pales, sours, you know, lagers, kind of across the whole range. Just stuff we enjoy drinking ourselves across the whole ABV range. And yeah, so try and mix our branding kind of with stuff we really enjoy. The reason we started this kind of business together is because we're best mates. So a lot of it's music related or football related or kind of things that just the reasons why we kind of became best mates, and we put that into the beer.
I feel like this is something that every like best mate pairing go through at some point in their life. They go, you know what we should do? We should definitely open a bar. We should open a pub together. And you guys have actually like lived the dream.
Yeah.
You've actually opened the brewery together. Like,
yeah.
I feel like that's everyone wants to do is like an 18 to 25 year old is a best mate.
We used to just travel around on holidays together, especially after we quit and we had so much free time. So we would just go into bars and go, oh, this would be cool if this was back in Reading, you know, kind of where we would like to hang out, but we just didn't have anything kind of like that. So we're like, how can we make the spot? It started with us, how can we have the beer at home that we want that's a bit cheaper? And then go, well, how can we have the space and the environment and love the games and all that stuff? And we're like, oh, if we just make it ourselves, if you build it, they will come kind of way about it. So.
And they have, because outside this office door, there's actually a good conglomeration of bodies outside the door. It's a swelteringly hot day in RG, whatever it is. I want to say RG1.
We are RG1, yeah.
There you go. Lots of people down, you know, clearly you're making something of it, but also, I guess, to Reading fans, you're probably best known at the moment, especially in Elm Park Royals territory, for you guys came out with the amazing McDermott and Coppell cans for the anniversary season last year, where you had the home kit and the away kit from both seasons on there. And my brother was trying to get hold of them for us when they went live, and they sold out in like 10 minutes, if that, before you put more up. It was they flew off the shelves. So, you know, you've got the Reading affiliation. Tell me, how did that come about for you, like
doing those McDermott and Steve Coppell cans. So since day one, we've always had an idea of kind of doing, again, beers that of stuff we really enjoy, really love, our passions. And so Reading beer was always on the cards. But the one thing I always struggled with was kind of thinking of the idea of the name behind it and just something that links to the Reading fans. And everything either seemed like too on the nose, too cheesy. It was, you know, do you call a beer Jimmy Kebbe's socks? You know, that kind of kind of thing. And I just couldn't, like, fall on something that I really felt actually the Reading fans would love, but not be just, oh, you know, promotion team, put the year on it, or, you know, put a player's name and then that's it. And so the other one of the guys here, he was like, oh, I won't call it Hoops. And I was like, nah, it's too close to QPR territory right there.
Yeah,
just
don't want any of that.
Can't be having that.
Being called UR just doesn't, again, the name just doesn't work. So, yeah, so then when the game was announced, I was like, oh, there you go, I have an idea now. Because we can kind of work with the retro kits, which, you know, they're very popular now anyway, but, you know, you put it on a can, it looks really cool, I think the fans would buy into it. And then the names kind of, like, spoke for themselves. You've got the two best managers in Reading's history. I'm a big McDermott fan anyway. So
that's a good question, though. Jacob, McDermott or Coppell?
Oh, you can't do me dirty like that and put me on the spot, Alex. I think, for me, being the age I'm at, even though Coppell is God, I'm a McDermott boy because he's like my dad, you know.
See, I feel like we're all at that age where McDermott is the favourite because that's the games you went to
when you were that age
at the.
Which leads on to the inevitable question, Dane. Being a Reading lad yourself, talk to me about your favourite Reading memories, because, like most Reading fans, you will have been delighted to see Shane Long re-sign for us this week. It's not a dream, it's actually happened.
I saw it today.
I've been pinching myself ever since. He was, like you say, he did actually make an in the flesh appearance on the pitch against West Ham today. A game that we didn't lose, everyone. We actually drew that 1-1. I wasn't there because I'm a fair weather. Dane, Shane Long's back. Presumably this has stirred all sorts of Reading memories from yesteryear for you.
Absolutely. Yeah, even the other day I was back on YouTube just watching my favourite Shane Long Reading goals. You're trying to kind of go, was there any that, you know, don't stand out? So you had the Cardiff, you had the Liverpool, that's the most obvious, but was there one that kind of slipped by? And I think, you know, quite a few of his headed goals are always quite nice, you know.
Yeah, I forget that he was actually quite handy in the goal. Yeah. Because, I don't know, when I think of Long, like you say, it's easy for your mind to drift towards the more memorable Shane Long goals, like the little lobbed effort against Cardiff, the goal at Liverpool, but he's handy in the air. It's like a kangaroo. He was taking lessons off the Australian contingent, like Federici, let me tell you. Is that racist? Probably.
Well, I remember that, like, when Federici was definitely his pomp for Reading, so promotion season four, he used to just do the, you know, the sidewinder kick and it would be straight to Shane Long up in the air, kind of head it on, and then you'd have, like, say, Kebe McNiff running off him as well, and that would be especially playoff season and season when McDermott took over. That was like a real key thing they used to really aim for. So
yeah, it's with Long being back, I know that Reading fans have been crying out for some sort of, like, emotional connection that's been lost over time, right? And I know he's 35. I know he's not going to be like this miracle signing that is going to solve all of our problems straight away, but all of a sudden there's a little bit more of an emotional attachment again. And when you football, by and large, when you're not talking about promotion, relegation, whatever, it's about how it makes you feel, right? And in terms of the Royals' memories that are most indelibly etched upon your brain, Dane, that rind, talk to us, because you've presumably got fond memories of the first promotion season in 2006. You've presumably got fond memories of when we did it under McDermott in 2012. What are some highlights for you?
Well, one that actually links to Shane Long as well, it'd be interesting to see your thoughts. So the playoff final, I remember that game finishing and being like, is Shane Long going to play for us again? And he got like three more.
I think he played two games, didn't he?
At the start of the season before the transfer went through. But I remember watching it going, I think that's it. I can't see him come back, because he had 23 goals kind of that season, wasn't it? And it's nice, it's come full circle now coming back. But yeah, I always, whenever people ask me their, like, favourite Reading memory, it's like the few seconds before Jim Carachan's shot hit the post for a final, when the comeback really was
this
on.
This is not for the podcast.
No.
That's very down.
Painful, because at the time I was, what, like 14, so it's made you all feel old. Yeah,
great, cool.
but that was, it's for me, one of the biggest, like, Reading what if moments in recent
history. We had a podcast on it a couple of years ago about what if he'd scored. What would have happened?
I struggled to think of a better atmosphere than once we got the second goal in
between
that little period.
Yeah, up until he hit the post, right?
That atmosphere was just great. The way the fans are going at Wembley. I remember that standing out and just being like, oh, this is proper.
And as McDermott has said multiple times, if we'd gone on and scored, if he'd scored there,
we
would have won. Everybody knows we would have won.
Wasn't it Scott Sinclair that tore his knee?
That zero, was Andy, he just ripped zero of Kishnisvili and Andy Griffiths.
Big old Zurab, who is probably still on like a list of my top three Georgians of all time. His memory was still like real, because he was like number 44 or something mental like that, wasn't it? His memory's forever tainted by that playoff final. That season before, he was brilliant. He was great. And then that playoff final, he's responsible for, three goals, wouldn't be an exaggeration.
And same when Andy Griffin, I remember him making his debut for Reading and then being like, oh, let's see what he does. And then going, oh, he is a level above every other player on this pitch. He's just older. So there's certain things that he's now lost, like his pace. You know, definitely the legs weren't moving with the world. But he had a footballing IQ that was just above everyone else. So I remember him being on the side, just nutmegging like the opponent's team left winger, and then just getting past him. You're like, but you're the slowest man on this pitch.
I've never really considered the fact that obviously we had Andy Griffin and then Ian Hart. We had a very, very slow wing back pairing, didn't we? I know they never played together that much,
there's something about like a really like craggy fullback for Reading that fills my heart with joy. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I would not be averse to us like signing like 40-year-old Alexander Kolarov at some point in the future. Do you know what I mean?
Hopefully we're set for right back now.
Well, you never know. I mean, you know what our injury record's like. We might all be like struck down by a plague of locusts before kickoff. Dane, you've brought up Reading semi-legend Andy Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
Before we hit the record button,
this is a great story.
We were in the tap room and you were telling us about your brush with royalty in Sakura, or what was then Sakura in Reading Town Centre, with Andy Griffin and the lads. Talk to us about that, because it's not every day that you get to run into like a local footballing hero on a Monday night on the lash.
Absolutely, and Ian Hart was there so there really was top tier players. There was the next level, and then you had Ben Hamer, you had the other guys as well. So yeah, Monday night in Reading, I'd just come back from uni to go on a night out. It was between the end of the season and the playoffs, which, you know,
this is going to make some people very angry that they weren't prepping for the playoffs.
Yeah.
I know. Well, I didn't want to say it, but like if it was Dane's fault that we went and lost the final at Wembley, then not only is it probably going to be the end of the Elm Park Royals preview podcast, but also probably the end of the Phantom brand as it is today. So
I'm gonna say, if it was in between the seasons, we did beat Cardiff.
All right.
I'll give Dane a pass.
Fine. Okay. Yeah. We'll allow it.
Been reminded it was Rock Night as well, so that we now know their favourite night out is a student Rock Night. So.
I can see Ian Hart and Andy Griffin and Jem Couchin being into their rock. Totally.
We'll have to ask Jem at some point.
Yeah, so let's say it was the usual suspects of Jem Carrick, Ben Hamer, the kind of people they were always hanging out with, plus then randomly Andy Griffin and Ian Hart being the kind of dads of the group, tagging along, going, oh,
don't drink too much, dads.
We've got to play a final, so only two more. they just ended up, but our group just said hello, said we're big Reading fans, and can we get a picture? Some of them obliged more than others. Andy Griffin and I have a picture with him, being the grumpiest man to ever exist.
He's pretty grumpy.
But
if anyone's seen him smile, anyone listening, send us a tweet of Andy Griffin smiling, and we'll probably like give you some sort of freebie. We can't guarantee it'll be Phantom beers. It might just be like a follow back or something, but I've not seen evidence. So,
Then Jem Carrick was just at the bar going, I need 16 Jaeger bombs. Could he turn around and do a quick finger count? And then he passed them out, go, do you want one? Go, absolutely. Have you had one yet? No, I haven't. Please give me another one. Thank you very much. And yeah, so I drank from 11 o'clock. I drank for free. Jem Carrick was the main man trying to get the drinks out. And the rest of the night did not go as well after we left the Reading players.
We'll send him your thanks. Pass that along.
So we all saw him relatively recently for the Legends game. I know we've already touched upon it because we were talking about the anniversary cans. But do you remember after that game? Because we were there, weren't we, Alex?
Yes. Yeah.
Carrick was all right that day, and everyone was saying, oh, sign him up, like he can still do a job for us. And then, like, it was only the last week, wasn't he, signed for someone in non-league.
I think he signed for Radcliffe. I think he still loves up in Manchester, and I think he signed for a club. Must be 4 miles, 3 miles away from where he lives.
But he's such a sound bloke. And like, I know that sometimes, I know that I'm guilty of this as a Reading fan. Sometimes the sounder the bloke, the more you're likely to give him a free ride as a player. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And don't get me wrong, Reading, like, as far as like those promotion teams go, plenty of sound blokes to pick. So I think Long's probably one of those, which is why everyone's so pleased at their back. I suppose, Dane, looking forward to next season, we know it's going to be a big old slog, and if we finish 21st and stay above the dotted line, then it's going to have been a success because we can rebuild the next year. How do you think it's going to go down? Are you more optimistic? Are you less optimistic? Like, what are your thoughts and feelings ahead of kickoff?
So I think one of the things when I talked to the Umpart Royal guys before is we're looking for a connection anyway. I think you can always take bit of rubbish on the pitch if the fans feel part of it, and the problem is the last few seasons they've been rubbish and the fans have felt further away from the club than any time in my kind of lifetime. We've been lucky, we've lived through the best ever period of Ren FC, so it feels kind of a shame that you've got this lull and we're kind of taking it for granted because it's still better than some of the previous years. But I think it's just building that connection and actually the fans having it, like understanding the players and believing in them, trusting them. And then the actual club doing stuff to build that relationship as well. And then I don't mind really what happens on the pitch as much. I don't want to go through a relegation, but we are going to go through a relegation scrap. We can't sit here and say anything different. I'd love to be surprised. But if the other stuff off the pitch, which has clearly got better since the season's end to now, if that carries on going the way it's going, I think it's going to be a much more fun season than Reading had quite a few
feels like there's a bit of light at the end of the tunnel, right? Like that's the main thing at the moment for fans at least. It feels like there's a light. It doesn't feel like we're just descending into this deep dark hole.
Well, because if
never ending.
If we'd gone down last season and had to have a season in League One under transfer embargo, it would have been bleak. Whereas now, I don't want to tempt Providence, but if we went down next season but could still spend, it would be a more
potential.
Exactly.
Nobody wants to get relegated, but at least it's not a case of going down and trying to sign free agents who want to play just solely in. It would be very difficult.
And now that, like today, as we record, we've just had a very creditable 1-1 draw against West Ham, where Yaku Mate's got on the score sheet.
We're going up. Yeah,
well, my brother's already sent me a message on Twitter saying the rules are going up. Yeah. So you heard it here first. But I don't want to be a Debbie Downer because I know.
Don't be. It's okay.
Shall we just like wrap it there? Then?
Yeah.
So in previous years, we've played pre-season opposition from the Premier League and been tonked like 3-0 to like Swansea, Chelsea, Palace. We were at
West Ham,
indeed. And you know, there's a glimmer of hope there, and hopefully it gives the players a bit of buoyancy. But Alex, this week there's news coming out, and I hate to bring it up because it really is a bit of a crushing blow, and I'm quite sad about it. There are rumours that Reading have lost their Category 1 academy status, right? And as a club that prides itself on our production of youth and having players break through for the first team, like Michael Olise, Omar Richards, and you know, way, way more in recent times under the tutelage of Eamon Dolan. Both of you like probably had the same reaction to that news as I did, where you thought like that's kind of like been one of our glistening jewels in the crown that's been taken away from us, all right?
It feels like if we'd gone down last season, that was the one like saving grace, right? The one saving grace for Reading over the last few years has been we do have a relatively productive academy. You've got McIntyre's come through the academy and now playing in the first. Holmes has come through the academy playing in the first team. You know, you've got multiple players who've now moved on in Richards. You've got Olise who's moved on. And then we're looking back, you know, 5, 6, 7 years now at this point. But you've still got players like who are still playing at this level. Players like Cooper who still plays at this level every year. And he's a major, major key part in a team.
Jack Stacey's just gone up.
Jack Stacey, exactly. Yep. There's another one. And I mean, even Tyrese Fawner, who's now at Reading.
Mm.
But obviously losing category one is not, it's not ideal in any way, shape or form. You have to just hope that the report that's come out around the fact that it's down to understaffing and resourcing is the main issue, because the facilities at Bearwood are really good. They are available there and they're really good. So if it is just a case of the fact that last season we didn't have that framework of staff in place to be able to justify, or not justify, but be able to service the academy as it should be able to, if you're a category one club, hopefully it means that now we've got this, like, you know, staff framework in place available for the academy, that next time there's an inspection academy for the academy and they're able to reapply for a Cat 1 status, and, you know, we can ensure that any players who are coming through in the next 3, 4, 5 years are able to stay at Reading.
And that we can just retain talent on our books. I mean, because it'd be really good to get some sort of clarity from the club on this, because in pre-season, Reading have been quite good at, since Mark Bowen's come in, at just communicating to the fans, as we've been asking for ages, just the way that things are. And so if they were to offer some sort of statement on how soon it would be that we get that back, then great, because one of the things over the years for me as a Reading fan is looking forward to seeing that flux of youth talent coming through. Dane, we've talked about your hopes for the season as a Reading fan. We haven't talked about, and this is putting you on the spot, so get ready.
I'm ready.
Your hopes at Phantom for the next year, like a year from now, with you guys being down here, you know, in the tap room, what are you looking forward to doing within the next year?
You're putting him on the spot.
I am putting him on the spot.
This is going to listen to this and be like, we haven't discussed
this. This is literally a world exclusive before Dane's business partner has even heard of this, right?
When I say we're opening 5 new bars, I guess, since when? No, so we've got a brand new kit that's just been installed now, which is mainly from a production standpoint. We're looking at quality. We're looking at being able to produce more beer. So that's something we're really looking forward to now. We've got another bit of kit coming in November, a centrifuge, which again is just something to take the quality up another 10% or so. So we're just trying to kind of now implement some stuff on the production side rather than the other bits, to add those little bits here and there that we can sit here in a year's time and recall. We're producing the best beer we've ever done. We've got a good team around us. What are the next steps in terms of them branching out, and how can we get our appeal out to different areas as well? But yeah, so at the moment it's definitely just keeping it in house. Just trying to make better beer day by day.
Better beer, Jake. You hear that? That's excellent news. That's what I like to hear.
That's
beer.
Music to my
Even
ears.
Even better beer.
Because I'll tell you what, the beer, like as it is today on the 16th of July 2022, it's still pretty good.
He says, having polished off a whole pint
in
the last 20
I'm
minutes or
three
so.
Yeah. I'm knocking it back like squash. Alex, what's your favourite Phantom beer?
Well, I've just finished during the podcast the pint of My Cat's Birthday.
Nice,
pretty good.
Too.
Pretty pleased with that.
Liking that.
I don't know the name of the slushy beer that you've got outside.
Echoes is the one that I'd go for.
This is the one that I'm looking forward to later on in the evening.
I told you this before we started recording. There's some sort of negative association I have with the word slushy. I just think of those like slush puppy, like shite, like motorway service station.
Whereas I think blue raspberry is potentially the best flavour in the world.
Wait, it's got to be a mix. It's a blue and a red.
We made a blue raspberry sour recently solely from the idea of the slushy and that blue raspberry flavour. My favourite cocktail is generally a blue raspberry lemonade. I was drinking some of those last night.
The ideas are flowing down here at Phantom. And...
Here we go.
Dane, what is coming up for Phantom in the next... few weeks, months.
So we've gone from me saying...
I know, you're talking about the business.
Now we're
talking
about
beer. I'm just talking beer.
We're at business, now we're at pleasure.
Yeah, exactly.
So in a couple of weeks' time, we're going to be releasing some new Reading cans. So some retro kits. We're going to have a 4-pack, hopefully ready for the first game of the season. Hopefully ready for them. We've got some of our favourites. It was kind of put to committee. We all put a favourite kit out there and had our designers done a great job. If you saw the cans before... you know, very much in keeping with that, but with some different kits this time. I wouldn't sleep on them because the last ones did go way quicker than I ever imagined.
I was way too slow.
So yeah, so 4 different beers this time.
Keep an eye on our social media.
Yeah,
well, because we'll put it up on there.
But you were cheeky because you say you focus grouped it, we focus grouped it in a Twitter way where you're like, oh, what are your favourite running kits of the last whatever years?
It's called public research.
Yeah, no.
So look forward to those. We've got a few others that have already been designed on top of those. But yeah, what kits do people want to see on a can?
What's your favourite kit of all time?
Of all time? Reading wise, I know it's a bit controversially. Actually, you know that like centenary Elm Park kit with the really rubbish, crusty badge
and the one that Elm Park rolls trees.
The one that our logo is based on.
Because
you know the kit we had under Poundovich with the collar.
Yes.
Right. Yep. So that collar was based on that kit at Elm Park with the Auto Trader sponsor. It doesn't get any better than that for me. I know. Like, people prefer the one before with a little, like, red diamond-like collar. But, I would not be surprised to see a couple of those designs rocking out.
So, before Reading bought back the collar, we had the run of two kits in a row that got us promoted that had a collar on.
Yeah.
And as soon as they bought back the next collar, I was like, that's it. We're up.
Promotion is confirmed.
The collar equals promotion.
That's what got me excited that season we finished 7th. I was like, we can't finish 7th. We've got a collar.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the rule, right?
At the time of recording, we haven't actually got eyes on the kit for next season. If it's got a collar, get excited. If it hasn't, then prepare for League One, everyone. And on that bombshell, I suppose all that's left to do is to thank Dane White, proprietor of Phantom Brewing Co. down here in RG1 Reading. And Alex, hello, you're still knocking around Elm Park Towers, Elm Park Royals Towers.
Still here.
Thank you for coming on as well. We're going to get out this very, very warm and stuffy office now. Listen out in the season for plenty of these preview podcasts sponsored by Phantom. And also a very special promotional discount code that you can hear at the beginning of every episode too.
Hello, it's me. I'm doing the post-edit. Don't mind me, I'm just slipping in to tell you that discount code that I was telling you about just then is actually EPR10. That's EPR10 at checkout if you fancy buying some of the beers we were just talking about. I'm not telling you to buy the beers, but if you did want to buy the beers, I'd probably use EPR10 for 10% off your final order. Back to the podcast. There's only a little bit left now.
This has been me, Jacob Southline, Dane White, and Alex. I keep on forgetting your surname.
You can go with Alex, it's fine.
Alex is fine. He's just a international man of mystery, Alex, from Elm Park Royals. And we'll see you when the season kicks off.
Take
care. 2 weeks to go. Take care, you lot. Bye-bye.
Bye.